Before I get started, we just wrapped up our community groups for the spring. So we had a great time. For those that were involved in that, we were able to walk through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think I put on 5 pounds this year in community groups. Thank you very much, ladies. And we had a great time with our group that met at Natalie's house, and just a tremendous time of studying the Word, but also great fellowship. So be looking for the community groups. We take a little bit of time off during the summer, kind of do the family things and the things that happen as we get busier in the summertime. You can look at our office schedule. You can tell by also the announcements how busy June is. So a lot of things are taking place. There's also a ladies' Bible study that's kicking off as well. Be sure to sign up at the Connection Center for that, ladies. So there are a lot of great activities that are going on, but also be looking for community groups as we get ready in the fall, to come back to those. This year just seems like it's flying. I mean, it seems like it was cold, now it's 98 degrees. It just seems going way, way too fast for us. Well, 2018, we have been talking about this idea that the Lord has placed on my heart, and that was to challenge each of us to be whole in spirit, soul, and body. To be whole in spirit, soul, and body. And that is that we continue to just kind of, if you need to exercise, begin to exercise. You know, if exercising isn't your thing, but your cholesterol's too high, let's bring that thing down. Let's work on doing that so that the body, when it's healthy, that all the other areas of our life become healthy as well, that we are emotionally in a good place, and that we are spiritually growing. And so this sermon series, Bodybuilding, has really been targeting that spiritual area. We've been talking about the spiritual gifts, and if you want to do a little bit of research on your own, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, and you can really get a capture all of the not all of what Paul has to say, but a lot of what Paul has to say about the spiritual gifts. So this is sort of based on that, and we've been working off of that for the last couple weeks. This sermon this morning is going to sort of close the series for us. By no means does that mean that we move on in spiritual gifts. It's we have learned something, we're putting it into our lives, and it's making us stronger as a result. Next week, we're going to come back to the book of Daniel. Okay, the book of Daniel. So you may want to read Daniel. We're going to stay in that for a little while as we learn what the book of Daniel may speak into our lives. So this morning, what we are talking about is the Holy Spirit as the gift giver. The Holy Spirit as a gift giver. How many of you out there are good gift givers? Is there anybody out there that's a good gift giver? We got one. We got another one in the back. Lenora, I'm not sure. I'm going back to Christmas. Mom back there. Just kidding, Lenora. Are you a good gifter? Not many of us are good gift givers. Hey, I thought I was at one time. In fact, I was telling Cindy, we were sitting around, and I was just kind of going through the, and some of you may remember this, early on when I began to sort of, request gifts and that kind of stuff, it was like I'd go to the Sears catalog or the JCPenney's catalog. Anybody remember that? How many of you remember green stamps? Okay, going back to green stamps. So we'd go through it, we'd circle this, and then I'd present it. When I was a kid, I'd present it to Mom. Here it is. Here's what I want. You could choose from all these things. You'd get real excited about it, So that was sort of the gift process that went on. And then I went from that into my teenage years, and in my teenage years, I don't remember getting a whole, or not, I'm sure Mom and Dad gave us gifts, but I don't remember giving a whole lot. I mean, you're broke. So what are you going to do? But you begin to understand. I remember one year that I got a gift from my brother that was a knitted handkerchief, or not handkerchief, but a scarf. We lived in New York, and it was that long, and it was crocheted. You open up that gift, and it's like, oh, buddy, thank you for thinking about me. But that was about what you could afford when you're a teenager. And then I got married just after being a teenager, so I'm 19, 20 years old in marriage, and then I thought I was a good gift giver until I would buy something for my wife, and she would look at it and go, I don't think so. And then she'd take it back. The question was, did you keep a receipt? Yeah. Actually, back then I didn't. Right now I've learned better And so now what I do is I keep the receipt. But we've sort of morphed into now we understand how to shop for one another. And this is what it looks like. Cindy and I will go, we like to go to the 290 outlet malls down there because we think we can get a better deal down there. So we go down there, and we'll do this in October, November, or December, and, you know, go Christmas shopping. And so we'll go shopping, but we'll go to the stores that we like. I'll go to Columbia. I'll go to Oakley. I'll go to whatever. You know, unfortunately, they don't have a Lowe's in there, so I can't go there. But I'll go to those places, and then what I'll do is I'll pick out a bunch of stuff and go, hey, here's what I like. And now you got the little small phones, and so I'll take a picture of it. And so for about 45 minutes is about all I need, that I'm exhausted. Right, we'll go shopping. At the same time, she's doing that. She's going through the other stores, and she's finding things that she likes, taking pictures of it, so that then we say, okay, let's come back together. We have lunch or something. And then we go back shopping, but now it's I go see what it is that I like that she's picked out. She knows the size. She knows the color. She knows all that. So I can pick those out, but I'm going to surprise her on Christmas with what she's already picked out. Right? It works pretty well. Right? So that's kind of the process that we use. I mean, otherwise I would have gotten it wrong all the time. Cindy's the same way. She'll not tell you that she's a great gift giver. She loves gifts, but she's not necessarily a great gift giver. See, we look at things completely different. Now, Cindy, she doesn't mind if I go to Ross Dress for Less, and I don't want to offend anybody or anything like that, but, you know, Five Below, all that kind of stuff. She doesn't mind if I find these really bargain types of things. She likes to open a lot of gifts, right? I'm different. I want a specific brand, a specific tool with a specific power that goes with that tool. I've researched it, okay? I've figured it out. And so it was difficult. So for a long time, we wouldn't figure it out because we weren't really good at getting one another gifts. And then along comes Amazon wish list. Thank God. Anybody can say an amen? All right? Then I can go through this Amazon and I can go, man, this is what I want. It's got the right voltage. It's got everything that I need with it. Right? It's the right color, for example, or a specific website that I can go to. And then I can just kind of present that and, you know, give a whatever. All these things. Anybody identifying with what I'm saying? Well, we've developed those things because we are, except for the three that volunteered said that they're good gift givers, congratulations, but most of us are poor gift givers, but not the Holy Spirit. Not Jesus Christ. He is a good gift giver. The Holy Spirit is an awesome gift giver. He gives us some amazing things. And yes, I said he, because it is the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It is the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a Star Wars force. It's not a stone that we wear on a ring. I'm thinking Xfinity for the Marvel people out there. Okay? It's not a stone in the ring. It's not a source of power like Iron Man. Okay, but the Holy Spirit is a person. And the Bible certainly speaks that. It gives us evidence for that. And we see it here. Actually, Jesus, when he's speaking, he says that I am going to send another, okay, or I am going to send him as the Holy Spirit. Now, I like what George Wood says. He says this. He says, if we, and I'm going to just kind of go through this slowly because I think it's a really important point that he makes. George Wood, he was the former superintendent of Assemblies of God. He says, if we simply think of him as a power, him being the Holy Spirit, if we just think of him as a power, then he becomes someone who we try to get a hold of and we use. In other words, if I could just tap into the Holy Spirit, then everything's going to be great. And so we're trying to figure out, how do I tap into it? Is it like a maple tree? Is it like an oil well? Is it, you know, what is it? How do I tap into this? But he goes on, he says, but because the Holy Spirit is a person, the Holy Spirit is seeking to get a hold of us and to use us to bring glory to Christ. Can you say amen? You see, there's an intentionality to it. It's the Holy Spirit wants to use us. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to be able to help us to bring about the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. He wants to see the gospel proclaimed. He wants to see us use his gifts to be able to help other people and for the, as Paul says, for the general good of people. Can you say amen? So we need to get out of the thinking that the Holy Spirit is an it. In fact, Jesus refers to it. He says when he doesn't refer to it with a personal pronoun like he, what he does refer to is he says, I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you another. And in the Greek language, what we have are two words. Okay, that word can be translated two different ways. But it's specific. Okay, it's specific in saying that another one like me. Okay, another one like me. So it is very, very clear from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. Now, this is important to understand, okay, because it helps us to understand what it is to worship him. Okay, what it is to worship him. In worship, we have to decide whether the Holy Spirit is a divine person worthy of adoration, love, or faith. In other words, can we sing, come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Scripturally, it says yes. We can, because it's the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, where's the Holy Spirit going to go? I don't believe that. You know, that I was listening to, Jim Cimbala, listening to him the other day, in just a tremendous, powerful church up in New York. And so he was talking about it, and he said, you know, he's come across some churches that are just sort of Holy Spirit churches. It's all about the Holy Spirit, right? I believe that church and everything that we do is about Jesus Christ. It says the Holy Spirit is going to reveal the things that Jesus taught to the disciples. See, there's a revelation of it. So, yet at the same time, there's a person of the Godhead who is the Holy Spirit. And so we can, in worship, proclaim him or worship him as though he's a person. The Christian living is another reason that we need to understand it. From the standpoint of practical Christian living, it's important to discern if the Holy Spirit is a source of power to augment human limitations, or is he a dynamic personality whose will, whose intellect and feelings interact with believers' lives. In other words, could we say of Pastor Austin and Brittany, can we say that it seemed good to us that the Spirit would move him from Grace Chapel to Albuquerque, New Mexico? Well, yeah, because Paul said the same thing. Right? It seemed good to us through the Spirit that we would be sent to, and he went on a missionary trip. I don't remember which one. Everybody went on a missionary trip because the Spirit's will, the Spirit's intellect, the Spirit said, this is what is right for us to do. So I think it's appropriate for us to understand in our Christian practical living that this is about, or it is how the Holy Spirit functions. In our spiritual experience, okay, it's important for us to understand that the personality of the Holy Spirit is manifested in the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, now this is really ties into what we've been talking about in understanding 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts. Okay, as we are plugged into the vine, right? John chapter 15, if we're plugged into the vine, then his life is flowing through us. For a couple months I've been looking, I sit on my back deck and I see this one pine tree and there's this, you know, just a huge foliage of poison ivy about two-thirds of the way up the tree. I look at it and I go, man, gotta get rid of that. Why? Because I hate poison ivy, and poison ivy makes me look like a freak. Right? It will mess me up. So I got to eradicate poison ivy. So the other day I had a machete in my hand and I went up and I went to the vine and I went, bam, I popped it. I walked, you know, I didn't pay any more attention to it. I thought in my mind, I said, you know what, I'm going to look at it over the next couple of days and see what happens. The next day, within 24 hours, that vine is just withering, disappearing. Why? Because the vine isn't functioning anymore. And what happens is as we're tapped into the true vine of Jesus Christ and as his life is flowing into us, and we bloom. And the spiritual gifts begin taking place in our lives as we allow them to take place. Because remember, he's a person and he wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to use us. Amen. So here's what's neat. Here's what's neat about the Holy Spirit, and that is that he gives us thoughtful gifts. And not gifts like the crocheted little, you know, scarf that I got from my brother, bless his heart. And by the way, he is older than I am. So it's not like it was my four-year-old little brother that gave me that. Don't worry, I deserved it probably. So the Holy Spirit gives some thoughtful gifts. And we're going to look at three things. The first one is this, is that a thoughtful gift comes at the right time. A thoughtful gift comes at the right time. Today is PJ's birthday. Okay, it is his birthday. Now, PJ doesn't want a 10-speed bike. I don't think. Who knows? He doesn't want a 10-speed bike. He doesn't want a BB gun. I don't think. Unless he's tired of squirrels. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that because those gifts aren't appropriate for his season where he is. You know, when my birthday comes up, I would really begin to wonder if you bought me a retirement gift. What are you saying? Is it time for me to retire? I still feel young. Still feel capable. We don't go out. We don't buy a 10-year-old a car. Right? Because it's not an appropriate season. It's not an appropriate time for them. We don't go out and buy a toddler a BB gun. Because it's not appropriate to be able to give it at that time. You don't go out and you buy a vacation cruise to give to somebody else. I'm just kidding. That would be appropriate. Yeah, you could do that. Maybe not for a little kid. But the Holy Spirit has a way of giving us an appropriate gift at the right time when we need it. So let's just talk a little bit of history or what the Bible lays out about the Holy Spirit. First of all, Jesus told us that it was coming at the right time. So that the Holy Spirit is coming at the right time, that you and I and the church, that we needed to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's look back at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49. It says, "And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent." Can you say amen? It's the message of the gospel. "You are witnesses of all these things." Verse 49. "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." You see, what he's saying is, I've got a gift for you, but I want to give it to you at the right time. See, right now I'm with you, but soon I'm going to be taken from you, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I've got a gift for you, and it's going to come in the season when you need it. And he told the disciples, I want you to go, but stay. Wait a minute, what are you asking? Is it go or stay? It's both. He says, stay, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, until that gift comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's going to... We can't do things in our own strength. We'll pick on Sonia for a minute. She said before she came up, she says, I've been doing this for 17 years and yet I'm still nervous before I get up and before I begin to speak or begin to sing. I'm still nervous before I get up and I begin to preach. Why? Because we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do what we need to do. How many of you are nervous when the Holy Spirit directs you and says, hey, here's a task I want you to do. This is something stepping out of your comfort zone because I want you to do this. And we begin to say, you know what? Okay, in your power, Lord Jesus, the power of the Spirit, enable us to do it. He knew that the disciples needed it to be able to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He told them, the disciples, he said, they're going to be casting out demons. They're going to be speaking with new tongues. They're going to see the recovery of the sick. Can you say amen? But he wasn't going to leave them alone, that he would send a comforter at the right time, at the appropriate time that he would send this gift. And with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit promises were that he would abide forever, that he would teach all things, that he would bring back to memory all the things that Jesus taught, that he would guide us into all truth, that he would convict of sin, and that he would testify of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It's about Jesus. And so that was the promise. And yet, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out with visible and audible signs. They began to speak in tongues that were predicted in Luke, and go back to Joel and to the Old Testament. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4 says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. In other words, the gift that Jesus said, I'm going to send you, but I'm going to send you at the right time when it's appropriate for you to have it, that it showed up at the time Jesus intended for it to show up, and that it was appropriate. And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, this guy that couldn't stand up to the girl just days before, goes out and begins to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thousands of people are saved. Why? Because the gift was appropriate, and the gift was on time, and the gift was essential to us. I want to read to you this paragraph that I came across, and I'm just going to read it verbatim because I think that it strikes at the heart of what it's about. It says this, it says, the apostles were so thoroughly enabled by the Spirit's power that everywhere their ministry is marked with the supernatural. The apostles were not mere guardians of a philosophy of life. They were ambassadors of Christ, equipped with divine capabilities. They had a divine work to do, and they had a divine power with which to do it. Thus it must always be. The church's mission is much more than propagating a new philosophy or a calling to a new morality. It's delivering men from the bondage of Satan. It's binding and loosing in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I think sometimes we get too wrapped around personality, and we begin to forget the person of the Holy Spirit and the person of Jesus Christ, and that the church is built on them. Some may say, well, you know, some would mistakenly say, well, Pastor Mark, if you weren't pastoring at this church, I don't know if the church would exist. Some might say, well, if Pastor Austin and Brittany were to leave, then I don't know how Grace Chapel is going to be able to make it through it. Let me say this, that the Holy Spirit is bigger than a person, and that the mission of the church is the same mission, and it will always be the mission. And what we have said here at Grace Chapel is that Grace Chapel is about finding true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that mission goes on and on and on into eternity, or until Jesus comes back, which is eternity. Can you say amen? That's what it's about. It's about the power of Jesus Christ that we're called to, not only if you are a minister by card or whether you are a follower of Christ, we are all ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit has empowered us to carry that message to a lost world. At the very end of it, it talked about binding and loosing in the name of Jesus, and it's a reference to the scripture in Matthew chapter 16, verse 9. It says this, go ahead and put it up for them. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be also loosed in heaven. And there's a lot of debate on exactly what does that mean, and people go this way, and people go that way with it. I don't really care in the fact that whether it's a physical sense of just this is what physically happens in a church or what spiritually has happened in the church, this is what I do know is that Jesus Christ is greater than he who is in this world. And that when we follow Christ and when we speak Christ into a situation, then things are going to change. So I believe that that is the truth. Right? I believe that what we as Christians, as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, that what is free is free. What is bound is bound. And just an amazing, amazing privilege and a promise. The second thing that the Holy Spirit, remember we're talking about the Holy Spirit, some of the great qualities of why he's a good gift giver. And the second reason is this, is that as the Holy Spirit is a gift giver, right, the gift that he gives blesses others around us. Okay, it blesses others around us. A thoughtful gift often blesses others around us. Now, this may be a little manipulative, I have to admit it. Okay, but what I have learned in the dynamics of my family, my wife and myself, is that if I have a project, and I like woodworking, if I have a project that could use, say, a biscuit joiner, if I can couch it in the sense that, you know, hon, that kitchen table that you would really like to have would really come together better if I had a biscuit joiner. I don't have one. So that biscuit joiner would really help me. After all, it's not about me. Okay? It's about blessing others. Now that is hyperbole. That's exaggerating it. Okay? But, right? Good gifts bless other people. Okay, good gifts bless other people. Now, I don't need to spend a lot of time this morning talking about it because we did speak last week about this almost extensively throughout the sermon. So if you'd like to listen to that, you can go to the website and pick up on that. But good gifts do bless other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, I'll just bring you back to that real quickly. It says, a spiritual gift given or is given to each of us so that we can help each other. A gift is given to us so that we can help each other, and with no manipulation at all. Right? You'll have to pray Pastor Mark through. But it's the given so that we might help each other. A couple things that we covered last week is, first of all, the body of Christ can do so many amazing things through the power of the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ can do so many amazing things through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not about showboating, right? It's not about medals on our chest. What it's about is the building up of the body of Christ and saying that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is my Savior, he's my provider, he's my comfort, he is all those things for me. And so when we operate in the Spirit, what it does is it shows who Jesus is. It puts him on display. I recently had a conversation with somebody that was from another city, distant from here, and they were sharing with me that they had a new pastor, and the new pastor had really begun to talk about some of the things that we're talking about, which I find interesting because it just seems like there's sort of a move of the Spirit that's taking place in various places in our country would say, you know what, we really need to go back and to take a look at the spiritual things that have been given to us as the body of Christ. So anyway, this pastor up there, and I'm familiar with the ministry, and so this pastor had begun to talk about spiritual things, and so this one elderly lady, or older woman, she came out of the service and went home, and in a conversation later that week, this older woman said, you know, it was a good message, it was a good service, but I didn't like being called Pentecostal. I didn't like being called Pentecostal. Now, I know the ministry there, and I know that the ministry dates back to almost to Azusa Street, that it's always been Pentecostal. And it seemed to me that the sad thing was that this woman who's been in this church for many, many years didn't know that she was in a Pentecostal church. Didn't know that she was in a Pentecostal church. Understanding that what we believe is, or what they believe and we believe, is that at Pentecost the Holy Spirit was poured out, and it was not just a gift that was isolated for the days of the apostles, but it was available for us today. Not only the speaking in tongues, but the other eight gifts that are mentioned in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it's not an exhaustive list. But the Holy Spirit has given to us. And the question is, why didn't she know it? Why didn't she know it? Well, getting back to our point, the other thing that we need to understand is that after Pentecost, the disciples lived a Spirit-filled lifestyle. And last week, what we did was we walked through story after story of Peter as he responds to the man that was at the gate, and he gets healed, and another situation where he speaks a word of knowledge into the lives of Ananias and Sapphira. And so the list goes on into Paul and all the things that take place. It wasn't weirdness, but it was just simply saying, you know what? This is what has been given to us. This is the power that we have. And so as we operate in that power, it blesses those people around us and it demonstrates the lordship of Jesus Christ. They lived a lifestyle of being spirit-filled, and it blessed others that were around them. And our gifts have been given to us to be able to help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you have somebody on your heart that's lost? And you're just praying for them. You're looking for the opportunity to be able to speak into your life. And sometimes it just seems like the thing that you would naturally say that seems like it would be right, perhaps in our minds, it just is the wrong thing. It sets them off in some way. How many of us know that when the Holy Spirit begins to speak, He opens doors for us? We're able to speak into a situation. I heard one man say it this way. He said that under the anointing, when you hear a quarter hit the floor, you know if it's regular metal or if it's a silver coin. I don't think literally, but I get the point. It seems like my spirit is tuned in under the anointing. It seems like then I begin to pick up on things that I don't normally pick up on. The Spirit says, pull over, pick up, help, say this, speak this, respond to your children in this way. How many of you know we need spiritual power that way? Hallelujah. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does as a good gift giver is that He gives things that are appropriate. Okay? He gives things that are appropriate. I, as I've mentioned, I like practical gifts. I like gifts that express the uniqueness of that person. Okay? You know them well enough to understand what it is that really motivates them and how they are unique in a certain way. So I like those types of gifts. In Romans chapter 12, again, it's Paul speaking, the same writer of Corinthians. Verses 6 through 8, he says this. He says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. It's interesting because in this passage, what he does is he begins to break down all these different types of types and personality styles and different abilities and gifts that God has given to us. They're unique. They're different. Not all of us are the same. We all have unique things that we kind of operate in. Some people, and a lot of people, have broken them down into all types of different things. And I'm talking about the gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 14, and then here in Romans chapter 12. And you can even include, to some degree, I think, the idea of the fruits of the Spirit of Galatians. And so you can take those things and you can put them together. But basically, they sort of go into kind of three categories. There's the prophetic gifts, there's the priestly gifts, and there are the kingly gifts. Okay, the prophetic gifts are the things that are spoken prophetically. Okay, that you're speaking, not necessarily always prophetically, but it's a talking gift. Those gifts are great. Okay, those gifts can be inspiring, but those gifts alone can inspire, but they get nothing done. So you need the other gifts. You need the serving gifts. The people with the serving gifts. This is how the body comes together. Can you say amen? How many of you are with me? Okay, maybe a lot of information. So it's about not just talking, but it's about also being able to get things done. So prophetic gifts in themselves are not enough. We need to be able to round it out with other things. So the priestly gifts are the serving gifts. Okay, if we had only serving gifts, then the problem wouldn't be we'd get things done for sure, but we might not be getting them done in the right direction. So we need to be getting things done in the right direction. So we need to have other gifts to be able to help us. And the last is the kingly gifts. Those are the leading gifts. They may provide direction. They may provide administration. Hey, but then those gifts in themselves, they don't create the group, and they don't help to get things done. Do you see how all these things sort of come together? We need all of them working together to be the body of Christ. And each of us come together with certain things. And together, we have to get it done, or we can get it done. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, I think we got our cardinal back. For a couple years, we had a cardinal that would attack the window right there. And I think that he's back. Either that or a small person's trying to get in that window. The gifts of the Spirit are appropriate for you. They're appropriate for you. I remember when I began pastoring the church, for those that don't know the story, I came back from the war, and the board had asked me to become the pastor. I wasn't schooled for it, didn't see it on my horizon, and I had planned to continue in education. I was teaching school and looking at administration, so I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And a mentor of mine had come, and he pulled me aside. He said, Mark, he said, don't try to be another pastor. Don't try to do another pastor. Don't try to be a Joel Osteen. Don't try to be a Jim Cimbala. Don't try to be, just be you. Be who you are. See, that's good because that's appropriate. It fits me. Right? It makes sense to me. And so understanding what's appropriate for us helps us to be able to operate in the gifts. I think some people have a misconception about the spiritual gifts. They feel like, you know what, Pastor, I'm a little bit scared of them because of some things I've seen in the past. And if I allow the Holy Spirit to really flow in my life, then I think I'm going to be like Bruce Banner, right? The Hulk. And that these emotions are going to take over who I am, and I'm going to lose control, and my clothes are going to rip off of me, and I'm going to turn green, and I'm going to, you know, go, and I'm going to beat through walls, and I'm going to do all this crazy kind of stuff. That's not what it is. See, the Holy Spirit knows who you are. He knows your personality. He's going to operate in your personality. If you have a gift of mercy, then he's going to use that mercy in your spiritual giftings. It's not weird. It's just simply empowered through the Holy Spirit. And so it's something that we ought to embrace. The Holy Spirit is really good about tailoring and fitting things into our lives. See, he's going to work with our affinity. He's going to understand what is it that motivates you. What is it that motivates you? Does worship motivate you? Then he's probably gifted you in that area. Does evangelism motivate you? Does serving children motivate you? Okay, that's your affinity group, and the Holy Spirit is going to give you gifts that are going to be able to help you to be able to operate in that area. Can you say amen? He's going to give you abilities. Okay, he's going to give you abilities. If you're somebody, you know, that you like to worship, but man, you know, you're in a whole different place musically. Right, we had a guy in our church growing up that his name was Gene Welch. Gene still bowls with my dad on his team up there. And Gene's a great guy, wonderful guy, but man, he couldn't sing a lick. But he loved to sing, the Christmas song? You can sing it all year round. But anyway, he would sing that song, and man, you could hear him because he wasn't anywhere near where he was supposed to be. See, he may sort of like it, okay, but he doesn't have the ability. We don't want to put a microphone in Gene Welch's hand. He just don't want to do it. I liked what there's a gentleman out of Canada. I was listening to him the other day, and he was talking about how he'd been pastoring for 24 years, and he would from time to time have somebody come up, and they would say, you know what, Pastor, I really feel like I'm called to teaching. Would you let me teach this in your church? And he'd say what he found out a lot of times was just because somebody feels like they are called to that doesn't mean that they've got the abilities for it. See, some people are informational overload. And so they're loading them down with too much information. Okay? Other times they're so superficial that they don't get to anything, and there are people that just, they don't know how to communicate an idea to people so that they can capture that idea and walk away with it. So there's a gift of teaching, and your abilities will be a part of that, and I need to kind of move along here. The last thing is this, the Holy Spirit will use your opportunities. What is God opening up in your life? Where has He placed you? Where do you find yourself? What opportunities are available for you? Because God will use those opportunities. And by the way, you don't have to have a gift of faith to have faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have to have a gift of evangelism to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to have the musician's gift of being able to sing up into the high, lofty places like Sonia's able to do. Hey, but we can still praise His name. There was something sweet about hearing Gene Welch sing. Why? Because of the fact that he said, you know what? I'm going to do it. Rather me than a rock cry out. And so we need to use the opportunities that we have. And so what we've seen here is that we've seen the Holy Spirit is a good gift giver. He's a good gift giver. He gives gifts on time. He gives gifts that both bless us and they bless others that are around us. He gives gifts that are appropriate for us. They fit us. So if you have any myths or apprehensions about the Holy Spirit, I think we can really dismiss them and say, you know what? He is good enough to know what I need. To know what I need. He's our comforter, it said. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not thorny. And the fruits of the Spirit are not thorny. But they're sweet to us. So in conclusion, I think that we need to understand, and we ought to understand by now, is that we need the Holy Spirit. I have grown up in Pentecostal charismatic churches, and I've grown up with this idea that if we could just get the next great revival, if just the next great revival would come, then everything would be that much better. I'm not against revival. I'm all for them. You go back to the Welsh revival. You can go to the revival of Azusa Street. You can go to the revival of the Latter Rain, and the list goes on and on of all these great revivals, and people have changed and all that kind of stuff. And I was talking with my mother the other day on the phone, and she said, you know, I just feel like there's a revival coming. I said, Mom, I love it. I love the idea of revival, but I believe that revival can take place in my heart now. Can take place in my heart right now. Simply by understanding what the Word of God says and by implementing it into my life. And saying, Lord, use me. Use me. I like what Charles Crabtree has said. He wrote this. He said, I define revival by talking about the whole scope of spiritual life and ministry. Revival brings back spiritual consciousness, life, and vigorous health to flourish again after decline. Revival recovers the biblical standard of truth, doctrine, and lifestyle. It is a fresh awareness of the presence of God. It's a confession of sin leading to a restoration of holy living, a new initiative in fulfilling the Great Commission, a new hunger for the Word of God, and a new faith for the supernatural. What I like most about his definition is this, is I don't have to wait until there's such a, quote, sweeping revival that takes place, but that based on the Word of God and the promises that are for today in the Word of God, I can have revival in my life. And that we can have revival in our lives just by allowing the Holy Spirit to move, by challenging us, by touching us. So to finish this morning, what I'd like to do, I've got a short little video that I want to show to you. It's just going to take a couple minutes. I want to show you the gift giver in action. A producer by the name of Darren Miles, or Darren something. Anyway, Darren Wilson. Aaron Miles used to go to church here. He created this. This is the trailer for this movie. What's it like? Wow. Isn't that amazing? That's just a teaser. You know, that's, they made it that way, a teaser. How many of you know that that witch doctor, her eyes got healed? She could see. She could walk afterwards. Just amazing. That's what it's about. That's about operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not weirdness. I'm probably not going to be the guy going into the middle of that parade and shouting that. It's just not my affinity. Right? It's not who I am. I don't think that that's the way. But could I? Maybe. But could we have the faith to lay our hands on somebody and believe that they could be healed? Amen. I think that's revival. I think revival is seeing God move the way He's able to move in our lives. Marriage is healed. Hurt's gone. Operating in faith, prophetic, in tongues, speaking in tongues, an unknown language. That's what it's about. Why don't you stand with me? I've kept you a little long. You've got tomorrow off. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you could just say, come Holy Spirit, we need you. Come sweet Spirit, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're walking through this place. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. But I pray that all the myths, all the fears would be destroyed. Lord, that the single most thing in our minds would be your word. And Lord, it's your word that shows us the power of Pentecost. It shows us that Pentecostal is not a bad word. That is, Lord, it just talks about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that's what it's about. So Lord, I pray that you would make us, Lord, as our church mission statement says, that we want to find Jesus Christ, find truth in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, we would truly live up to that for your name's sake, not ours. That you be glorified in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. You're dismissed, but if you'd like prayer, we invite you to come on up to pray. If you'd like more of the Holy Spirit in your lives, we'd love for you to pray with you. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you very soon.